Hey, welcome to the show. I'm Yanni Rude.
And I'm Just Terrell. You ever been elsewhere and overheard two people having crazy conversations?
Well, we are those people. We've been having these conversations since college.
Yep, it's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast, Love is Blind, Season 6, Episode 3 Recap. Be sure to like, subscribe, rate, and leave a review.
You know, ever since you told me about the comment, I haven't seen it yet. I can't unsee this thing. It looks like Dad back here, right?
Yeah.
I can't unsee it. And it doesn't say that. It actually says has my name on it.
Right? Yeah.
But you put it together, and it still looks like it.
Yeah. it looks like Dad back there. Every time I see this, I'm like, oh. So that I can't unsee what she said in that comment now. I think it was Thank NYC God. Queen.
It doesn't say bod under here.
It doesn't say it, but
that's what it is. Dad bod.
Yeah.
Well, no dad bod as episode 3 starts. Here we are, season 6 of Love is Blind. Amy and Johnny, right where we left off last time, they are getting ready to meet all these things, and then they walk out. Yo, I'm going to say this, and my wife said it too. Johnny got some style. I like what he wore when he went out there, and he looked good when he went out there.
I thought Johnny looked good. I thought Amy looked good, and I just wonder what it's like to be in that situation where you're just waiting to right. see this person that you've proposed to, like all the different Sweating. Thoughts going through their head. But when the doors open up, they get together, and you could see the attraction and chemistry between them
yes.
as they're together. And so I'm excited for them, and yeah. I really hope they work out. And I was curious to see how tall, mm-hmm. you know, Amy was compared to Johnny, but I think they're just a good looking match. But I thought this was really interesting. When you think about this whole experiment, Amy says she usually goes for more ethnic men. Mm-hmm. And so now she got herself a white boy. And that's what the experiment's about, for you to like take yeah. away what you normally go after mm-hmm. and not worry about the exterior and focus on the interior of the person. So I'm already excited about this couple.
Here's the thing. Not only did she only date ethnic men before, she said she wouldn't have even looked at him.
Right.
That's right. the key part. She would have been right. like, yeah. All right, continue. Yeah, so this you're right. This is exactly what this is about, and this is why we love this. And maybe that's what's up for this couple next. AD and Clay, because we see Clay in the men's quarters getting a little emotional with Jamal.
It was almost like a fake cry to me. I was like, come on, Clay. Like, either you're going to cry or you're not going to cry. But it'll be, you know, I just try my best. And but no tears. Stop it.
Right. But so here's the thing. He did that. And then he went in the pod with AD and then told her that, you know, he cried about it. And of course, he got some brownie points for it. I told you this works. It works.
It probably works well for AD is what it seems like. So I do respect the fact that he apologized for cursing and reacting the way he did
yeah.
when she said she had a connection with Matthew, because to me, that was really uncalled for the level that he took it. And my first thought right. is, if you're doing this now mm-hmm. in the pod, what mm-hmm. are you going to be like in real life?
Right.
And it seems like AD has a history of attracting turds. Good mm-hmm. looking, athletic,
mm-hmm.
successful probably, but turds. So hopefully Clay doesn't fall into that same category, but I really think AD needs to be cautious.
Yeah, she should, but you know, she looks like she's heading in head first, blinders on, let's go. Laura and Jeremy, the thing about it is, they have an interesting conversation that a lot of people probably should have prior to spending the night.
Yeah, do you snore? And I get it. A, life happens, people snore. But the difference is, depending on how you feel about that person, if you really love them and they snore, doesn't bother you as much.
Right.
But if it was, we just met at the club, and then you crash at my place or yours and you're snoring, it's awful. So I think it's a fair question.
Thank God I'm out of dating scene.
Yeah. Yeah, because I've heard it. Just in the U-Haul. after four cups of coffee, snoring. So Jeremy opens, admits he snores, and he sleeps with a CPAP machine, which I'm glad he told her. Because that is, I remember some years ago, a friend of mine was going through some health issues, and she had to have a CPAP. And she was asking me, like, when do you think I should tell a guy? Like, I have a date tonight. Do you think I should tell him? I'm like, well, he's going to find out eventually. Might as well go ahead and tell him. But she was really nervous once she got the machine, and how does that impact their dating? So I'm glad
he
told her.
She sleep with him the first night? Jesus Christ.
I don't know what she was going to do. That's not what she asked me. She didn't ask my advice on, after I sleep with him the first night of our date, should I break out the seat? She didn't give me those details. She just said, hey, Terrell, from a guy's perspective, what do you think? And I answered. I'm not going to judge her.
I'm not judging. I'm just asking questions.
You were a little judgy. That tone of yours just a little that judgy.
Question. I'm not the only one asking that question right now.
I haven't heard anyone else.
They're in the comments. They're in the comments. Now, you notice they got to talking about holidays. What do you think about this whole conversation? Because it seems like they're aligned here.
Yeah, they don't seem like they both come from this close-knit family.
Right.
Because that is very different if you have. I remember when I lived in Lincoln, Nebraska, and all these people, their families are so close, and all the traditions they do for Christmas and all that. I was like, y'all are weird, because that's not how I grew up. Right. So I think they're aligned there. And I agree with Laura. I'm not a Christmas fan either. And so I was like, you know what? I dig it.
But she softened on it when Jeremy talked about his grandmother, right? And how he wants to create those kind of memories and traditions. And his grandmother's like, well, you're gonna have to do that. Those that you want, those things that you still want, you're gonna have to create it with your own family. He's like, I think I'm ready to do that. And she seemed like, okay, I'm willing to do that. She just didn't want to do it with her family.
Right, right. And that's the note I have, is that they seem to align on what their ideas of their family would look like, which is good. And then that's when Jeremy drops the bomb that Laura's his number one.
Yeah. He says it feels like she's been around for a while. And that's in the way he said it. It's a good thing, because that could mean so many different things.
Right, right. But he said it right. And I get it. She's his number one. This is football. They're going to the playoffs. Guaranteed.
So Sarah and Jeremy, they get in there, and Sarah automatically just Botox, 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 Botox. I'm like, whoa, where did this come from? And then lip filler, lip filler, lip filler. He's like, I got lip filler too. She's like, really? He's like, of course not. What do I look like? An Instagram chick?
Yeah. Well, Jeremy said Sarah's his wild card right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, Laura, they're going to the playoffs, guaranteed. Sarah's on a wild card round. And I felt weird about all the stuff she was saying about the Botox. And not that saying that Botox is bad or anything like that, but the way she kept talking about it.
Yes.
If I was Jeremy on the other side of the wall, I would just start thinking like different things. And so what I like here is when, after Jeremy hears all this stuff, he asks her, how many followers do you have on social media, like on IG? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, oh, good question. Mm-hmm. And then she hits with a lot, like 4,000 on Instagram. And he's like, what? I mean, I don't have 4,000. I think I'm at 700. Mm-hmm. But then on her TikTok, she has 30,000.
Mm-hmm. Neither are astounding numbers. Neither are not great numbers when it comes in the big landscape of social media. But so when he goes 4,000, I'm like, okay, this is where you think of it in the reality of the everyday person who is not big on social media, that sounds like a lot, because you're only following the people that you know or certain people after that. But, you know, so when you hear 4,000, do you know 4,000 people? So I can see why that turned to be a thing. They started talking about politics and what?
Well, I was going to say that what you just said is correct, except if you're on a reality show on Netflix.
Yeah.
Where can you take that 4,000 after all this stuff airs? Where can your 30,000 TikTok, how can that go up after all this airs? So I'm like, are you here for the right reason?
I can see why you think that. I didn't even think about that in that space, because I'm around people who have large followings, right? A quarter of a million, who say like, oh yeah, this many people watch my Instagram stories. I'm like, Jesus, really? One story in 24 hours?
Yeah.
those are the kind of people I'm around sometimes. So that's why this number doesn't seem high, even though mine isn't that like that. I can see it. they get to politics, and it's interesting how they're talking about this politics, because she's conservative and says, but I have a lot of liberal friends. Is that like saying, you know, I have some black friends?
A little bit of a stretch, but I get what you're doing there. I thought, as she said, I'm more conservative and a patriot. And I was like, oh, okay, Trump supporter.
Yes.
That's exactly, that's what I put in. Okay, you must be a Trump supporter. But they even went deeper, because these are conversations you normally don't have in the dating space. How do you feel about abortion? Yeah. And I think she leans more towards pro-life with her answer, because she doesn't feel, because you are irresponsible having consensual sex, that you should have an abortion. But in the case of rape, incest, then she's okay with it, which to me, that sounds more pro-life.
Okay, it sounds more pro-life, but with an open-ended question. It's an interesting balance that she had, right? Because she's like, it shouldn't be used as a tool of birth control.
Right.
But I'm not going to say, like some of these jackasses who are trying to tell everybody what to do, it doesn't matter what happens, you can't have one. And that's what Jeremy, I think, handled it very well when she turned it on him. He's like, I'm a man. It ain't my right.
It's a woman's choice.
Yeah.
And I agree, but I don't agree with how she tried to phrase that, because I don't think anybody goes into sex as, wait a minute, what if we get pregnant? Oh, we'll just get an abortion. Don't worry about it. True. You know, so it's not so much that people are using abortion as a symptom of birth control, but I think pro-lifers use that line. That's a talking point that they use often.
You probably hang around a lot more pro-lifers than I do, so.
Well, welcome to Texas.
Damn it, man.
Yeah, you forgot. Welcome to Texas. You's here now.
Here's the thing I got out of this, because considering the way the conversation started and where it went, I thought it was a great conversation. But to me, it gave homie vibes. If we get back to Ready to Love, it gave homie vibes. It gave kind of like just like good friends. There was no romance in that conversation at all.
It wasn't, but they got a little bit deep. I mean, he started to talk about his dad passing, and he goes to his dad's grave often and said, hey, I would invite you to come. So I think Sarah asked him about his parents.
Yes.
They'd want to meet her, and she explained his dad had passed. But here's what I thought was interesting. When she said, have you shared this stuff about, you know, your dad with anyone else? And he said, well, everyone knows that my dad passed away, but the details of me going to his grave and talking with him and wanting to bring somebody to meet him at the grave, no, I haven't. And I was like, well, I wonder if he ever told Laura that. If Laura's his number one, that's interesting.
But Laura's his romantic number one. Sarah Ann and her Botox and lip fillers, it's his good friend.
That's his homie.
Dog. Exactly. That's what, and I could be wrong, but that's what I got from it. But next up, there's no homie vibes in these two. Brittany and Kenneth. And I like the fact that they just address the elephant in the room immediately. Because here's the thing. You knew that he could tell she was white. And you knew that she could tell he was black. There wasn't a question. Let's go.
Here we go. Are you about to do that again?
Here we go. Dak, is that you?
Well, here's what's funny. You know, Brittany walks in the room and she sees the painting date planned and the salad. She's like, I love you. You got everything I need right here. Yeah. But I think that she just wanted to confirm that what ethnic background he was.
Yo, the funny thing is she said, what's your family? Not you. He's like, I'm the white guy in the family.
But, you know, that's a way to open the conversation. What if he is the white guy and he was adopted and he grew up in Third Ward and, you know, he hung out with Paul Wall and all them and he just sounds this way. She was just trying to get an idea what she was working with.
Yeah.
And this is really interesting about Kenneth, because Kenneth also mentions in another conversation in the lounge, he's never dated a white girl before.
Right. Exactly. And then interesting thing about this, though. He said in the lounge as well that he thinks she gives off blonde vibes, right?
Right.
So the only thing he got correct on her, because they started guessing each other's looks, was that she has long hair.
Yeah.
She guessed everything else was wrong. I mean, because that's all we got so far. And the blonde obviously is wrong. She got everything right. She's like, well, I'm guessing stocky.
Stout is what she said.
And she went back. She's like, well, not unless you're 5'4".
Yeah, yeah, not a short sound unless you're 5'4". And he was like, well, I am 5'4". And she was just like, oh, well, I'm going to trust the experiment. But
oh, yo, I love that. I love that. Because she's like, I don't want you to tell me. Because she's like, we're not confirming anything. I'm right. just going to tell you what I think. Which yeah. I like. Because you can confirm if you want to. They chose not to. And I like that about them.
It is. I think that's really good. Because I wonder what people think I look like on the other side of a wall. And mm-hmm. I'm sure the first thing is probably not black. But whatever.
Hey, when I first got to Charleston, people thought I was tall, dark skinned with long dreads. I'm like, nope.
Yeah. So Kenneth asked her, how does she feel about physical intimacy?
Yeah.
And she said that her preference is to wait till marriage. Now, luckily, this is a fast process that mm-hmm. you're really only waiting 4 weeks. But
he's like, I can wait 4 weeks.
Yeah, I can wait 4 weeks. Totally fine with 4 weeks. Now, if it's 4 months, 4 years, that's going to be a lot of prayer. Be at the yeah. altar every day.
You see, you can see the finish line in this process.
Right. You see, 4 weeks, I got time. But what I like about this is this concept of, and we've talked about this in our regular podcast, about waiting to have sex or waiting till marriage. Mm-hmm. I think this works well when they both have the same
yes.
religious values, the same yes. background. Like, it makes sense. If mm-hmm. he wasn't, if he was somebody more for the streets and
if
she
was clay.
Very mm-hmm. religious. Yeah, she was clay. If he was clay, yeah.
Interesting thing about this, because he's like, you know, I like that because I want God to bless this marriage. And I'm like, I like you said, they are aligned. They are great together. This is my number one couple. So I like Amy and Johnny, but I like this couple right here. I really do.
I agree. I mean, I feel like they are a really good example of what this experiment's about because they're yes. probably first for each other. Because Brittany yeah. never said that she's dated men of color before.
But she has.
You think?
I'll tell you why. Probably is it might be a next episode.
Okay. I would think that she hasn't, but so then, you know, now, you know, everything worked out well for Amy and Johnny. So Kenneth says, all right, I found my person.
Mm-hmm.
And he said he has no doubt in his mind that she is the one he is supposed to be with mm-hmm. and proposes. And of course, she instantly says yes. And just to see the excitement in both
yes.
of them. Mm-hmm. It is not so much tears. It's the excitement of like, wow, yeah. you know, I can't wait to see their story as they go. Yeah. So I'm rooting for them.
Hey, we're both rooting for them in this one, man. I'm excited for them. Next up was Jessica and Jimmy. And before she even went into the pod with Jimmy, she's like, you know, she's in love with him and she wants to have his babies. Okay.
Yeah. She's she's quite excited. She's quite excited about Jimmy. It's weird. I have just mixed feelings about Jessica because I think she's a beautiful girl, but there's just a whole lot of stuff that comes with her outside. You could say she's all right. I mean, if you saw her in a magazine, you wouldn't be like, why the hell is she in here? You know, it makes sense.
Yeah, I don't say that about anybody.
Bottle girl. I think it's because she reminds us of like what a bottle girl would look like. And nothing wrong being a bottle girl. And there are a lot of bottle girls that are beautiful, but that's their purpose.
Yeah.
But she's just been through a lot. So I think that she's not just all looks and no brain, but she's just been through a whole lot for Jimmy. But Jimmy's trying to be open with it. And he's trying to say all the right things to make her feel like he's really into it. So then he asks her about his daughter. He's asking these stuff and saying stuff to make it seem like he's into her a lot, I think.
He asked her about her day. She's telling him, he starts just...
And just tell me about your kid.
Like, yeah. Yo, even my wife was like, yo, stop. We're watching this episode again. She's like, what is he doing? She couldn't take it.
It's like the more she talks about her daughter, to me, Jimmy starts to look more and more uninterested in her.
He's thinking about Megan Fox.
Yeah, like he's just all in his own head. Thinking about Craigslist, Megan Fox, he's thinking about that. I get it. So now we talked about social media questions with previous couple. So now Jessica drops that bomb. Like, what's your social media following like? And he's just like, you know, trying to understand what she's asking. And her point was that she's had issues with the guys following girls on social media and looking at attractive women. And she doesn't like her man to look at half-naked women for fun. Either you want me or you want anyone else. And doesn't want him to lust for anyone but her. And she said it doesn't come from a place of insecurity, which I'm like, no, it does. It does come from insecurity. Totally does. That's why you're doing it. Yeah, I think that's just an immature, I think, thing about Jessica, in my opinion.
Yeah. Yeah, it's terrible. And it's if she wasn't already turning him off with other things, and while he's thinking about Craigslist, Megan Fox, as you call her, this probably helped as well. So he's like, well, what am I going to do when you're not there?
Well, so she puts out the, hey, this is what I don't want you to do. But then she hits him with some stuff to hopefully make him feel good. She said that he's the only person her body has a physical response to. And that's why he is her person.
That's a line. That's a line.
Yeah.
That's a line.
You're the only person out of this group my body has a physical response to. And what do they call it in the episode? Make your vagina pulse?
Vagina pulse,
I guess that's what that is. But here's what I also like about her, that she encouraged him to keep exploring.
Yes.
Because she wants to know that she is his first round draft pick.
Yes.
Just like he is for her. I like how she did that. You know, Jessica gives some really good direct communication, and I applaud her for that.
I applaud her for that as well, because, again, he may not have caught on to what she said, but when she said that, you are the only person I have a physical response. She hasn't seen you yet.
Right.
That says a lot.
Does. So.
And she was very smooth not to tell him exactly what that physical response was, because it could have been anything.
The pulse.
So Jimmy goes on another date, this time with Chelsea, and Chelsea's saying it sucks hurting people. I'm like, okay, what's about to happen?
Yeah, you know, she gets all in her feels because I think, obviously, Chelsea knows that Jimmy's also talking to Jessica. And I think she's worried about either hurting Jessica or potentially hurting Trevor if they get to that point.
That's what I was thinking more of.
Yeah, but I'm just like, this is the show. That's what this is for. And Jimmy brought that back. It's like, hey, we came here for a purpose. This is what the whole process is. And again, you know, Jimmy didn't mention anything about his dates with Jessica. He knows that she knows that he's dating Jessica, but he really keeps that stuff quiet. Yeah. And apparently she had told Jimmy that about Trevor, and Jimmy had nothing but nice things to say about Trevor. So Chelsea told Trevor, and then Trevor told Jimmy. I mean, I'm like, all this talk, and that's why I think Jimmy's smart to try to keep stuff close to the vest. Chelsea likes to spill the beans, but I just like how mature Jimmy is with this whole thing, even knowing that Trevor's pursuing her too.
Right. Well, speaking of Trevor, let's just get to him. Trevor was in there with Chelsea, and he's telling her. I mean, he's already said this to everybody else, that he's narrowed it down to one, right? And she's the only person on his list, right? And he was on a date the day before and didn't want to be in it. This is what he's telling her now, because he was only thinking about her. So he's told the guys this. He's telling her this. He, again, you talk about being very intentional. He's being very intentional in what his intentions are.
Right. And I love seeing how excited he gets when he walks in the pod and Chelsea walks into the other one. Like, he is really lit up. But also, similar to the compliment I gave Jessica, Trevor does the same thing. He said he wants her to choose when she is ready to narrow it down to one. Yes. But he also said, no one else will feel for you the way I feel for you.
And good stuff. She didn't pick up on what he was saying. Because, again, you know that Jimmy and I both know we're both going for you. And I'm telling you right now, he is not going to feel the same for you like I do. He's telling her. She's not listening. Because here's the thing that irks me about this. You know, she's not giving the best responses to all the stuff he's saying. He's saying all these great things, and she's just like letting it bounce off and really not responding. And then Chelsea asks if he's afraid that he won't like, and this is her trying to find it out, right? Well, aren't you afraid that he won't like what you see when you see me? And he's like, hold up. You mean that you're not like my typical type? And she's like, yeah. He's like, what you mean? That's what this experiment's about.
Well, I don't think she was looking for an out. I think that she was looking for compliments because Chelsea is very insecure.
Then there's that too. True.
And so I think that's what she was trying to look. But I love how Trevor handled it because he said, hey, you know, you might not be my typical type, but that's what the experiment is for. But really, it doesn't matter what you look like because I love you. Yeah. I mean, Trevor is...
Oh, he was smooth with that too.
Putting it all out there on the line, right? And so for Chelsea to get in her feels again, you can't ask for anything better than that. But to your point, and you mentioned this, I think it was you or I said it. I can't remember now. It's been a long day.
If it was good, it was probably me.
Chelsea has not really reciprocated any of those words of affirmation that he's giving.
Right.
Or anything. She's just like loving it, but she's not really saying anything back to make him feel like the feeling's mutual.
Yeah, it gives, I love you. Oh, thank you. That's what it's giving. The words you don't want to hear, but after you say, I love you. Oh,
yeah.
That's sweet. Oh,
dope.
Yowzers. That's amazing.
And so, and the thing I don't like about Chelsea is that she talks a little bit too much. Obviously, she tells Trevor what Jimmy tells her in the pods.
Yeah.
And now she tells the ladies everything, too.
Yeah. And it's crazy because here's what's crazy about that, right? Because she leaves the pod and tells the ladies. But what does she tell him before she leaves the pod? Nothing. She cries and goes, I wish you knew how I feel. Tell him. Instead, she goes to the ladies' quarters and tells the ladies about how he feels. And all the ladies go, oh, my God, that's so sweet. And everybody crowds around. And then all of a sudden, Jessica starts to moonwalk back to the kitchen like, it's going to be a lovely day.
Yeah. She's doing her little Ric Flair. Yeah, this little Ric Flair in the kitchen. Woo! Yeah. You know, Chelsea could have told him, yeah, I wish you really knew how I felt about someone else, not you. Yeah. And I just can't share that right now. But I think at this moment, Jessica's thinking that this is looking good for her. Because if Trevor's telling Chelsea he loves her, maybe she's got to go towards that route. Mm-hmm. And then that means her chances for Jimmy just increased.
Yeah. And you would almost think she'd want to come in and be happy for her. But they also both know they're dating Jimmy. So she knows she can't do that. And she's just like, I'm just going to play it safe. Back the hell up. Back that thing up.
And I think that's the difference in the male quarters and the female quarters, you know, the lounges, that the guys tend to be pretty cool with it, but you get a little territorial there in the ladies' lounge. But I'm thinking that Jessica's walking away from this episode going, I'm winning.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got three more, halfway through this first batch of episodes, three more to go. So 4, 5, and 6 over the next 3 days, because that's what we have left in this before the next batch drops on Wednesday. So if you haven't already, do us a favor. Hit that like button, hit the subscribe button, and then hit the bell for notifications to make sure that you know when these episodes drop.
Yes, notifications are the key to it because we're going to be dropping so many in the next 72 hours. So you got to get the notifications for it. It's a lot. We normally do one a week, sometimes twice a week. This weekend has been pretty active.
Indeed. Hey, I'm Yanni Root.
And I'm Just Terrell.
Make sure you follow us at Yanni Root, at Just Terrell, and at RGRT Pod.
Yeah, send us some of your random thoughts, some of the bullshit you found on the internet. We'll talk about it on the show.
It's the Regular Guys Random Thoughts Podcast. Cheers.
Cheers.